Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have some information to announce, some of it which is good, some of it which is really bad. But let's get right into it. The data summary for yesterday, there were 726 new cases that were confirmed yesterday by the Erie County Department of Health, a positivity rate of 14.4%. To give you some comparison, the prior Monday, the positivity rate was 20.4%, and there were 1,436 new cases, so it basically dropped in half. And the prior Monday, the positivity rate was 27.2% and 2,534 new cases. So we're seeing a big drop in new cases, and we're thankfully seeing a big drop in the positivity rate as well. It's basically half of where it was 2 weeks ago on this day. And we can confirm that 6% of Erie County residents have a lab-confirmed positive COVID-19 test in the past 4 weeks. So it's all 6% of all Erie County residents we know have a confirmed lab test. That does not include any individuals who may have done a at-home test and did not report it, because you can report that now. So there's over 200,000 individuals who have tested positive for COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic. That's roughly one in five residents in Erie County. So last week, or through January 22nd, there were 8,431 new COVID cases. This is a 47% decline compared to the previous week, which was 16,103 cases in a week. And it's the second consecutive week we've had a decline. The weekly positivity rate dropped to 17.1%, down from 23.5% the week before, 24.8% the week before that. However, the case rates and positivity rates, while they've decreased, are still very high. So I think we need to note that. It's great to see a decline of 47% in cases, but there were over 8,000 new cases last week. And the positivity rate is still very high. If we were talking about 14-15% positivity rate early in the pandemic, I think we all would have been shocked, because the rates were, when we were shut down, weren't nearly that high. And the diagnostic tests, they did 49,000 plus in the prior week. That's down from 68,000. That's why the positivity rate's a very important number to look at. The overall case rate on a 7-day period is very important to look at, because that's a better comparison than just the raw numbers. Hospitalizations. We're happy to say hospitalizations of COVID patients continue to drop, at least for those who are admitted for COVID-19. On January 23rd, there were 475 patients in total in Erie County hospitals who were COVID-19 positive. 267 of them were admitted for a COVID-19 related illness. So 44% of those 475, or roughly, is it 257 patients admitted for COVID, or 267 admitted for COVID, 208 admitted for another issue. Could have been a car accident, could have been an injury, could have been there for some sort of surgery. But the numbers are going down. That's a positive. The hospital bed capacity, while we're seeing drops in COVID patients, has not necessarily dropped that much. It has dropped. That's important. Total beds occupied on January 23rd, 87% of all beds. There are some hospitals in which their beds may be full. ECMC is a good example of it. Their acute care beds have been full for quite some time now. They're basically churning through hospital patients, discharging others, and new ones come in. ICU beds are dropping. They're down to 80%, but still a lot of people in the intensive care unit in Erie County. And you'll see that bottom line on the picture is the deaths. We've had a lot of deaths in the last 2 weeks, and we'll talk more about that now, because we can confirm from the Department of Health that 105 COVID-19 associated deaths among Erie County residents occurred between the period of January 7th through January 20th. These are individuals who died from COVID-19. These are not individuals who had a car crash and were COVID-19 positive but died from the car crash. Now, 58% of those individuals were not fully vaccinated prior to infection. That is still considered two shots for the Pfizer and the Moderna, one shot for the Johnson & Johnson. Does not include the boosters, but we'll talk more about that. But of the 105 people who died between January 7th and January 20th, five were under the age of 40, none of whom were fully vaccinated. So they had not gone through the two-shot regimen for Pfizer or Moderna or one shot for Johnson & Johnson. The average age of the fully vaccinated persons who died was 78. The average age of the persons not fully vaccinated were 70. Now, I've talked about this repeatedly. The numbers show that if you are vaccinated, and now we have numbers related to boosters, you are protected at a much higher rate than somebody who's not. I believe the CDC released that you are protected from serious illness or death 68 times more than someone who's unvaccinated if you've been vaccinated and boosted. But we can say since this, November 1st of 2021, 420 Erie County residents have died from a COVID-19-related illness. Only 8.3% of those individuals, or 35 individuals, were in persons who were fully vaccinated and boosted prior to infection. However, of those 35 individuals, 22 of those were age 80 or older, and the vast majority of the rest of them were in their 70s. 13 deaths have occurred in people who were fully vaccinated and boosted under the age of 80 since November 1st. That is 3% of the entire total deaths. So we've had 420 people who've died in Erie County since November 1st. We can note that 13 people under the age of 80 have died since then of that 420 people who were fully vaccinated and boosted, 3%. And those, as I noted, most of them were in their 70s. The vaccination and the booster protects against serious illness and death. It's as simple as that. Five people under the age of 40 died in a two-week period in Erie County, and they were not fully vaccinated. They should be here today. I offer my deepest condolences to all the family members and others who've lost a loved one as a result of COVID-19. More mortality data. This is looking at it for the month of January through January 20th. 134 people have died in the month of January, six under the age of 40, six under the age, or between the ages of 40 and 49. More people have died under the age of 40 during January of 22 than any other month during the previous month during the pandemic. The previous high was five in April of 2020 when the pandemic just started. So, six people died so far in the month of January under the age of 40. And as I noted, five of those were not fully vaccinated. I'm not certain about the sixth. I don't have that data in front of me right now. But 12 persons died under the age of 50 in January 22, tying April 21 as the highest month of deaths for those age categories. Six people under the age of 40, six between 40 and 49. 12 people have died under the age of 50 in the month of January. And just to take a look at the previous years, 1,276 people died in 2020, 1,117 died in 2021, and now through 2022, through January of 20th of 2022, 134 people have died in Erie County from COVID-19. This is not someone with a gunshot wound who was COVID positive. This is not someone, people who were in car crashes. These are individuals who died from COVID-19. And it's sad because if you just look at the numbers, We're not where we were, thankfully, last January, but we have the vaccine now. We should not be seeing as many deaths. And if you look at it, last January, the average age of death was 81 in Erie County. And right now, the average age of death for the month of January is 72. There are people in our community who should be alive today but are not because they were not vaccinated. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. Dr. Burstein can talk till she's blue in the face. Please talk to your family members. Get them vaccinated. It's as simple as that. The vaccination status, through January 24th, 324,000 booster doses have been administered among Erie County residents. That's great, but we still have about 200,000 other people who could get a booster, so we need more people boosted. The graph you see on the screen are those who have one shot, and you'll note the declining numbers as you get under the age, or the age range of 34 and under especially, but we can do better. We must do better. There are people, as I said, who are dying in this community who have not been vaccinated, who should be alive today. I've seen a couple of the obituaries. I don't know these people personally, but I know some of their loved ones who've lost a loved one, and I know their loved ones are going through terrible times right now because they lost a family member who should be alive today. Yesterday, a state Supreme Court judge in Nassau County issued a decision determining that New York State's mask mandate as issued under New York State Executive Law Section 29A was unconstitutional. The New York State Supreme Court, just for people's knowledge, is not the highest court in New York State. It is actually the lowest trial level, but it still could have an impact on the rest of the state. But it is not like the U.S. Supreme Court. Actually, in New York State, the highest trial court is called the Court of Appeals. The middle section is the appellate division. Below that are the state Supreme Court. So this was a state Supreme Court judge in Nassau County ruling on the constitutionality of the action that was entered into by the Department of Health from New York State in regards to a mask mandate statewide. Using and looking at New York State Executive Law 29A, the judge ruled the action unconstitutional. I've read the decision. I'm an attorney by trade. There's nothing in the decision that affects local emergency orders. There's nothing in the decision that affects New York State Executive Law Section 24, where counties and other local governments derive their powers. So the mask and vaccine mandate in New York City, that is still valid. The mask mandate in Erie County, it is still valid. The judge's ruling has no effect on any local government emergency order. It only affected the state's decision. So there's been a lot of questions. Well, what does this mean for Erie County? And what it means is, because we've continued it since I instituted on November 23rd, the emergency order in regards to emergency masking, requiring all patrons and public-facing staff in indoor locations to wear masks, is still in effect. It has not been ruled unconstitutional. And the decision by the judge does not affect it at all because it was based on a totally different part of the law. The judge did not rule on the mandate as being unconstitutional. The judge ruled on the process that was used by the state administration to enforce and pass this requirement. So the mask requirement that I issued and Dr. Burstein issued through a commissioner order on November 23rd is still in effect today. It has never gone out of effect. New York State created a stricter mask mandate, but our original mask requirement is still in effect. So therefore, you have to wear a mask when you're indoors and you're in a public-facing location in bars, restaurants, hotels, barbershops, beauty parlors, bowling alleys, schools, office complexes, shopping centers, malls, stores, and any other location that is open to the public, including governmental buildings. We have this rule, and right now I'm physically separated by the other people in this room. Otherwise we're wearing masks, and this rule is in effect so that people can understand that if you're working at your desk and you're alone, you don't need to wear a mask. But if you're working at a desk and people are coming straight to you and you're talking with members of the public, the rule is you have to wear your mask. if you can't otherwise safely socially distance. That's the rule that we implemented in November, and it is still in effect. It has not gone out of effect since the state did what it did. It is my understanding the Attorney General's Office for New York is already going, is appealed or is in the process of appealing the decision that was entered in Nassau County yesterday. And that is okay. That's the rule of law. The rule of law says a Nassau County Supreme Court judge made this rule as it affects New York State. It does not affect the impact of local government orders. It's quite clear. I know there's a lot of people who are saying that is not the case, but you have to rule on the particulars associated with the decision in the law. And this decision was in regards to how this was processed under New York State Executive Law Section 29A, which does not affect local governments. It affects the governor's ability to issue an order. Local government's ability to issue a state of emergency and emergency orders are based on New York State Executive Law Section 24. They are different. It has a different impact. So I want to make that clear. The mask order is still in effect for Erie County. It has never gone out of effect. Now that a decision has been rendered with regards to the state rule, while that is being decided in a state court, the county rule is still in effect. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Burstein.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So I just want to be clear that, you know, given that Omicron is the dominant COVID-19 variant in our community, boosters save lives. Their data that the county executive just presented, their data that were recently published in CDC's MMWR, their data that were recently published in the American Medical Association's JAMA journal that show that the boosters are very effective at preventing severe illness, hospitalizations, and death due to COVID-19. So anybody who's been fully vaccinated, I applaud you, but you have to get a booster. Boosters save lives. And in Erie County, we have many opportunities to for people to get vaccines. You can go on our website at erie.gov/vax, V-A-X, to see when and where is most convenient for you to get a booster dose. If you haven't started your series yet, or you need one more dose and then you'll be eligible for your booster, get that now. Time is at the essence. The clock is ticking. There are people dying every day, as the county executive has showed you. So we really need to do everything we can to keep as many people healthy and happy and safe during this pandemic. And even though the numbers are decreasing, we're still seeing deaths, and that is a reality. And boosters are our way out of that. So if you don't want to go out to a vaccine clinic, I know the weather is pretty crummy, you can get a vaccine at home. Again, call us at 716-858-2929. We'll get your information. We'll give it to Buffalo Home Care, and they will contact you and to make a plan to come over to give you and anyone in your household a COVID-19 vaccine. Any available vaccine, any dose that you need. If you want other options, you can go onto the federal government's vaccines.gov website to see where else vaccines are being offered. And also talk to your healthcare provider. Many providers' offices are offering COVID-19 vaccines. So please get vaccinated, get your booster if you haven't already have already been boosted if you are eligible. Also, we are offering COVID-19 testing free. Erie County Health Department's Public Health Lab offers the state-of-the-art, most sensitive COVID-19 diagnostic tests available in the United States. I'm sure that you've had experiences, either yourself or friends or family, where you know people that have said, oh, I tested negative with my home rapid test, but I had symptoms, so I just wanted to check it out. I got a PCR test or an ID Now test, and that was positive. We offer, Erie County Health Department offers the most sensitive and specific COVID-19 diagnostic test. I also know people who didn't have symptoms, they were low risk, did a home test, it was positive, and that ended up being a false positive. So again, it's really important to know your status with the most sensitive and specific test available. So our public health lab is running tests pretty much every day of the week. We have visits for testing open every day of the week. It's free for Erie County residents. Just call us at 716-858 858-2929. We have good availability right now. You can you often can get a same-day appointment. We have evening hours. We have weekend hours. And we're turning around those tests pretty quickly. Many people get their results within 24 hours. If not, then 48 hours. So please give us a call and get your test. It's very important to know your status. That's part of the piece of the puzzle to stop transmission. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the county executive for questions.
Thank you, Dr. Burstein. Before I take questions, I just want to note, we all want this to end. I want this to end. We all want to get back to what we consider normal life. I believe COVID's going to be with us for the rest of our lives in some form. That doesn't mean that we're going to be following the same mask rules and things like that in the future. Remember, the mask order was put in November to protect our hospitals from getting inundated and overfilled with patients, and they've barely hung on. The bed capacity rate right now is a little less than 90%, 80% in the ICUs, but there were times in which it was 95% of every bed in Erie County was full. We implemented the mask mandate to ensure that our hospitals didn't drown with patients. The COVID numbers are going down. I'm happy to see that. The COVID hospitalizations are going down. I'm happy to see that as well. And if things continue in this trend, there's a possibility we'll be able to lift the mask requirement in February. But we're just not there yet. There are still people dying. Most of them, those individuals, are unvaccinated, especially if they're under the age of 60. And I just ask everyone to bear with us here. Talk to your friends and neighbors, family members who work in a hospital, and they'll tell you how stressed they are. The mask mandate was not put in place to make people's lives miserable. It was to prevent our hospitals from drowning in COVID patients. It worked during the Delta wave. We brought the numbers down, and then Omicron hit. And we saw a ridiculous number of new cases. But thankfully, because of the percentage of people we have vaccinated in our county, the vast majority of those individuals had very minor cases, if they even noticed it at all. But some people have very, very ill cases, sick cases, such that they require hospitalization. Some individuals don't make it out of the hospital alive. 105 of our fellow county residents died between January 7th and January 20th. And as I noted, five of those individuals were under the age of 40 in the prime of their life. And they should be here today, but they're not. We still need to take this serious. It's not going to be something we're going to have to react to forever. But we're still seeing high numbers. And as those numbers go down and the hospitalizations go down, we'll relook at the numbers, and if we believe it's now safe to lift the mask mandate, we will do so. We do not want to keep it on forever. This is entering an endemic. It's leaving the pandemic, and it's becoming endemic. I expect on an annual basis, we'll be having to get a booster shot, just like we have to get a booster shot for the flu on an annual basis. And that shot protects you from serious illness and death. None of us want to deal with this for the rest of our lives. But we're probably going to have it in an endemic soon enough. And so we need to get through this Omicron wave and then look back and say we did all we could to ensure we saved the most amount of lives in our community. And we helped those incredible people who've worked in the hospitals for almost 2 years now during this terrible pandemic, keep them from understanding that they don't have to go in every day and see hundreds and hundreds of patients there for COVID. That's what we're trying to do by having the mask requirement in place. Prevent our hospitals from drowning in COVID patients such that when you're injured or you're sick with something else, you can't get the care you need because the beds are full with COVID patients. That's why we've taken this action. And with that, I will open it up to questions, starting with WKBW Channel 7, Jeff Russo.
Good afternoon, County Executive. Appreciate the time. When you talk about the possibility, and you said we're not there yet, but when you talk about the possibility of perhaps being able to remove that mask mandate, what kind of threshold are you looking at for that? Or do you have in mind where you want the numbers to be, where the health department wants those numbers to be for that to even be considered?
Well, I'm not going to give a perfect, say this is exactly the number we're going to be at, because it's going to depend on a number of factors, primarily what we're seeing in the hospitals. And the hospital numbers vary. There are some hospitals that have every bed, acute care bed full, and maybe they have 4 or 5% or 8% ICU beds that are open. Then there's some other hospitals that may have 10 to 15% of their beds open and their ICUs are almost full. So we're going to keep looking at the hospital numbers as the primary focus on where we are. It appears that Omicron is burning itself out. And as a result, that's good. Why is it burning itself out? Because it got so many people infected with the illness. So we know people are still going to catch it in the upcoming weeks. What we want to see are those hospitalization numbers drop to a point where we feel comfortable that if we lift the mask mandate, we're not going to see hundreds of more people go to the hospital because then they get sick with COVID. And the other thing that helps with that is increasing vaccination rates and boosters. I'll turn it over to the doctor to talk more about that. But as we said, the booster numbers are really, the more people we get boosted, the better your chances, if you catch COVID, to have mild or no almost illness at all. So I'll let doctor talk about when people should get boosted based on their initial shot, especially as it pertains to children.
Thank you. So as the county executive mentioned, getting a booster dose of a COVID-19 vaccine is very, very important. So many people were vaccinated with the mRNA vaccine. So after your primary series, if you have a normal immune system, so after your second dose, now it's 5 months after your second dose of either Pfizer or Moderna, where you can get a booster dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. You can get either Pfizer or Moderna, whatever you feel most comfortable with and is most convenient, but it is very important that you get that booster dose. And that's that's kids all 12 and up. So for the Johnson & Johnson, again, the booster dose is 2 months after your first dose. You can get a Johnson & Johnson, you can get one of the mRNA vaccines, but please get a booster dose. Whatever you do, it's very, very important. We know it saves lives. Thanks.
Okay, Sandra Tan, Buffalo News.
Thanks, Mark. I had a question about the mask mandate as it applies to schools. I know that the executive order that pertains to mask mandates here in Erie County refers to any public places. Not just anyone can walk into a school building. There are restrictions on who can come in and who can come out. So I just was interested in some clarification on the extent to which your executive order applies to mask wearing in schools.
Schools are considered public indoor locations. Children would not have to wear them if they were outside, which I don't think there's many classes outside now because of the cold. But indoor locations, the teachers, the parents, if the parents go to pick up their child, they have to wear a mask. That is considered a public location. A private location would be a business that does not invite the public to it. So I'll give you an example of that. An example would be, in some ways, General Motors, which has offices that are not open to the public. The governor's rule affected all locations, private and public. Ours was just public locations. But because children are coming back and forth every day, and parents come in and out, guardians come in and out, they have to probably show ID to get in the school, but they do have that opportunity. Schools are covered, and therefore masks must be worn. And I also would add, it's my understanding the New York State Education Department has also said that its rule still is in effect because the decision only impacted the rule that was issued by the health commissioner, Mary Bassett, and the governor. It did not affect the education department's own internal rule.
So just to clarify, you would consider students in the classroom to be public places?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
It's owned by government too. All government buildings, covers all government buildings, and schools, at least public schools, are government, and private schools that are opening, they're inviting individuals into their location, including parents. Ron Plants, Channel 2.
Hi, County Executive. Number one, going back to Jeff Russo's questions, don't you feel, even though numbers can be confusing, and this whole thing has been that way, but don't you feel that we should be sharing with the public what threshold numbers you would want to see as to when we could lift some mandates? And number two, can you explain the focus on the death rate, the mortality rate, more than the hospitalization rate during this briefing, which you said, again, is the primary driver here?
Well, the mortality rate is irrespective. If we could still have a lot of deaths, but truthfully have exceptionally low hospitalization rates, probably not going to be the case, but that could be the case. Because there's mortalities, there are deaths that occur across the entire spectrum. There are people who die in nursing homes. There are individuals who died in nursing homes in the last month from COVID. Not a lot, but there are. So we have to look at the totality of the circumstances. Mortality is one of the factors. Hospitalization is the number one factor. We've said all along, it's not just one thing. Everyone's looking and thinking there's a bright line test, that once we hit this particular number, that matters. If you look at the hospital statistics, and you can see the hospital statistics online on New York State's website, you will note that there are different rates of hospitalization in different hospitals. Some hospitals have more bed capacity than others, and it'll vary by just acute care beds and ICU beds. So I think a bright line test is not a fair way to do it. We talked to the leaders and administrators of the hospitals. They were basically the ones that were begging us to put the mask mandate in place to help prevent the drowning of their hospitals with patients. I did it because I felt it was the right thing to do after consultation with the Department of Health, with the hospital systems, with our emergency services and others. We felt it was the right thing to do to prevent the hospitals from getting, just basically drowning in patients. We're glad to see the COVID-19 patient count drop. That's key. Key is also going to be the total number of patients in the hospitals. Remember, most hospitals in this area have not been able to do elective surgeries lately. If you allowed elective surgeries, their hospitalization rates would shoot even high, probably up to 100% again. So we're seeing a drop. That's really important. We have to see those COVID patients drop so that they open up beds for other patients, including those who just might want to get an elective surgery. Breanne Rogier from Spectrum News.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to check in and know how the Test to Stay program in schools is going.
I think it's going pretty good, but I'll turn it over to Dr. Bree.
Thank you. Glad you asked. So some of our schools have started on their Test to Stay venture already. We know of 11 schools that have already started offering Test to Stay and testing students that qualify and staff members that qualify for the Test to Stay program and have submitted some data to us. We also know that almost all the public school districts, except for maybe about a handful, and 24 private schools have expressed interest in participating in Test to Stay and are in the process, either have collected their rapid tests from us or in the process of making arrangements to collect their tests. So many schools have decided to participate, and some schools have started already. We know more schools are starting later this week. So it is in progress. So we're really happy about that. You know, anything that we can do to keep students and staff in schools is very, very important. Thanks.
Mike Desmond from WBFO.
Yes, one of the issues, obviously, is where kids become infected, since the consensus from early on was that they didn't get infected in class. Have you thought about checking the air in some of the school buses? Because obviously they're riding around with windows closed at this time of year.
I don't believe that any tests have been done on school buses in our area. Dr. Burstein is nodding her head as a no. I'm not aware of it. We can take a look and see if that was done elsewhere, but it is not something that I am aware of. And I don't know how you would, I don't know if the technology exists to actually capture the air and determine if the virus is there. Turn it over to the doctor.
Thank you. So, you know, we are aware that there have been instances of in-classroom transmission, and we're very suspicious that there has been a transmission of COVID-19 on school buses. So it's not necessarily the air. You know, we know that the virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, is transmitted through, you know, respiratory secretions, droplets, and anything that you can do to improve the ventilation decreases the risk of transmission. So if the school buses can crack open the windows a little bit, you know, even that it's really cold out, just, you know, crack them open a little bit will help tremendously. It'll circulate airflow that and be very protective against transmitting those infected particles within the school bus. We know that many of the schools have improved their HVAC systems to have a higher level MERV, like 13 or above, and that helps a lot. Even cracking the windows open, although it's very cold, I mean, that can still help a great deal. However, you know, we have documented both in-school transmission and in the classroom, and we are highly suspicious that there has been transmission on the school bus. I mean, in the perfect world, everybody would be masked and socially distanced. However, we all know we don't live in a perfect world. And especially in a school bus, it's really tough because there's one bus driver who hopefully has their eyes forward, and so they don't have eyes in the back of their heads, and it's really difficult to monitor students on the bus, making sure that they're socially distanced and wearing masks. So, that's the reality, and that's what we're living under. However, we're still able to keep schools open especially with our masking and our tools to test, both students with symptoms in the school and students that have been exposed. So we're very optimistic that even in the winter, even with these high Omicron cases, we'll be able to keep schools open, especially when students and staff get vaccinated. Thanks.
So no school district has come in and said we've had four cases on bus 18 or something like that.
Well, you would, have to talk to the schools about what they're willing to disclose about, you know, what happens in the school bus and what happens in the classroom. We're not releasing, it's really not our, place to release those specifics. But, that's something that, the data that the schools have.
Okay. Is there any other member of the media that I did not call on?
Hey, Mark, it's, Tim Wenger at WBEN. Just back to the schools thing for a moment. We're aware that there were schools where kids were, today refusing to wear masks based on the New York State court ruling that you've already commented on. And you mentioned that in Erie County, obviously that's where these schools are. Is the reason kids need to wear masks in schools right now because of the county order, or is it because the New York State Department of Education says they have to? I just feel it sounds to me like there's some confusion as to why the mask mandate remains in play in school. And then also, if you just could comment on the decision by Williamsville last night, the village, to pay the $300 fine that was levied from the health department.
Well, getting back to the mask issue, on November 23rd, I issued a mask order for all indoor public locations. That includes schools. New York State Education Department has a rule associated with it. It doesn't matter in some ways whether it's New York State Education or Erie County, the rule's in effect. The state court decision only affected the aspect associated with the New York State Department of Health Commissioner Mary Bassett's order. So masks are still need to be worn under the rules that we have in place right now in Erie County in all indoor public locations. Simple as that. The issue with the Village of Williamsville, I'm very happy that a majority of the board decided to try to address this issue, pay the fine, and move on. I'm hopeful that at all future board meetings, as well as in Village Hall, that everyone will be wearing masks, as they need to be in all indoor public locations. It really was silly in my eyes for the Village to want to take it to court and spend thousands of dollars in legal fees. We would have defended it in-house, so we would not have spent money on this. We have attorneys that work every day here in county government. They would have defended the county, but the Village would have needlessly wasted thousands of dollars. So I'm very glad that a majority of the board decided last night to pay the fine and work with us to ensure the safety of their residents. Erie County Department of Health is the only health department in our county. The towns, the villages, and the cities, even the city of Buffalo, they do not have a health department. It's the county health department that goes out and has to do this work, and it's the county health department that issues the orders with regards to this, as well as my office through the executive law, Section 24, emergency order power we have. And I think it's important that, as we say, we don't necessarily tell the towns, the villages, and cities how to do certain things. We don't tell them how to do garbage collection. We don't tell them how to do police protection. We don't tell them how to do fire protection, per se, because that's not our bailiwick, even though we are involved to some degree. And when it comes to the health department, it is the health department that is responsible for the health and wellness of our citizens, not the village. But the village, as a government, has a responsibility to protect its public, protect the citizens who come to its meetings, and to enforce the law, and the law is in effect. And I'm very grateful that the majority of the village of Williamsville realized that it is better to work with the health department and protect their citizens and pay a very minuscule fine than fight over this and spend thousands of dollars and potentially have some of their members get sick and die. 105 people died in a two-week period, and that's through the 20th, and we know more people have died since then. Let's just get through this Omicron wave and be better for it, and then hopefully return to normal, or at least what is the new normal going forward. With that, I don't think there's any other members of the media, so I thank them for their participation. Once again, while we see declining numbers on cases as well as hospitalizations, we did see a big jump in deaths in a couple week period, such that we have had more people die in the month of January under the age of 40 than any other prior month during the pandemic. And it tied under the age of 50 the number of people who died in this month. And we're not even done with the month yet. It was through January 20th, so we still had 11 days in which of data, and we know more people have died in Erie County. And let's just hope that people understand that this is not over. COVID is not over. You may be done with the pandemic, but the pandemic isn't over yet. And it is probably coming close to reaching endemic stage, and if that's the case, it's something we're gonna have to deal with as a community, as a country, and a world going forward. But for now, we need to do what we can to get through this latest Omicron wave and protect and save as many lives and ensure our hospitals don't get so inundated with patients that they're drowning again. We're headed in the right direction, but please, if you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you haven't gotten a booster, if it's over 5 months since you had your first or your second Pfizer and Moderna dose, get a booster. It works. The evidence is there. It works. There's a lot of false information floating out on the internet, but the information from the healthcare providers is accurate, and we know that boosters work. So please, get vaccinated. To all, be safe and well. Thank you, Karen, for providing the American Sign Language today. And to all, be safe and well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.